The Oxford Sparks Podcast, Episode 14, Light, Part 1.
Everyone has Wi-Fi. It's everywhere. So people consider Wi-Fi to be almost like water, running water these days, that you expect it, you log on wherever you are, you find a hotspot, and that's brilliant. And the reason it's been so successful is it's the same frequency all over the world, so your phone works all over the world. You don't have to pay to use the frequency. It's an unlicensed band of spectrum. And that's full. It's full with all the other people doing Wi-Fi. It's full of things like door closers, Bluetooth. Lots of different things are all using that band of frequencies. So I'm Dominic O'Brien. I work in engineering science, which is one of the departments in the University of Oxford. And my research is to do with light. My aim is to use light to try and add to the capacity, add to the wireless communications that can be provided, usually within an indoor space. So you go indoors, you've got Wi-Fi, you turn the lights on, and that adds to the wireless capacity that you can get.
So how do you encode information into light?
The obvious thing to do is to do Morse code with light, to basically flash the lights on and off to send ones and zeros. So a flash of light would be a binary one, no flash, binary zero. And that actually works pretty well with certain sorts of light. Some things you need to do, you need to flash it fast enough so you can't see what's happening, so your eye doesn't see it, and that's maybe a few hundred times a second, and that solves that problem. The other thing is the lights themselves need to be fast enough. You need to be able to turn them on and off fast enough for that to be able to work. Now, fluorescent lights and old style incandescent bulbs, the ones you can't buy, it's difficult to do that, if not impossible. But modern LED lighting have created this potential revolution in the way that you can do Wi-Fi, or it's called Li-Fi is the phrase people have coined for Wi-Fi using this LED generated light. So these LEDs you can turn on and off a lot faster. So at its simplest, you encode simply with a one being a flash and a zero being no flash. Practically what people are doing now and what we do is we take some of the ways they use to encode in radio and we adapt them to use with light. And it turns out by doing that you can go a lot faster than just the simple ones and zeros using flashes. For instance, using an LED, just using ones and zeros, you might be able to do a few hundred megabits per second. But if you use these more advanced techniques, you'll be up into the gigabits per second.
Is this similar to how radio signals encode information?
Radio tends to use a technique called orthogonal frequency division multiplexing. And that's pretty much the standard for modern radio systems. What it does is it uses hundreds of frequency carriers, each carrying low-speed data. Each frequency carrier would be carrying data using both amplitude and phase modulation. So they call that a constellation of symbols. So each low-frequency carrier has a constellation. There are hundreds of frequencies, maybe even thousands, all with low-speed data on them. Add it together, you get high-speed data. So we've adapted those techniques with light. The issue with light is that light from an LED only allows you to send power or intensity information. It doesn't allow you to send amplitude and phase information. So we play some tricks to send partial amplitude and phase information. I think that's probably the best way to explain it. And it turns out that works pretty well when we get up to these gigabit per second data rates using pretty standard LEDs, the LEDs you'd buy off the shelf to build LED light bulbs with, for instance. The idea is that you get that extra capacity at very little additional cost. And it follows human occupancy. That's the other interesting thing, that it turns out that you come into a room, you turn the lights on, that's where you're going to want the data capacity largely. So Wi-Fi will be there as an underlying network, but you can add to the capacity when you need it.
What is the particular challenge of creating a Li-Fi network?
The amount of data you can transmit using a single LED is going to be ultimately limited. But in a room, of course, you're going to have many tens of LEDs. They might be combined in a single bulb, or they might be in a few fixtures across the room, or you might see lots of different LEDs. What we're interested in is trying to send different data on each LED, and of course that all gets mixed up when you propagate in the room, so the light goes everywhere to an extent, not quite, but it's fairly undirected. So the question is, how do you unmix that at the other end? So we're building special receivers and special algorithms that allow us to unmix that. And again, we're borrowing from radio. So for instance, your Wi-Fi router, you might see two antenna, one at each end sticking up, and that's what they call a MIMO antenna. So that's a multiple input, multiple output system. So it's sending more than one data stream, it's sending different data streams on each antenna. And at the other end, your phone or whatever's picking it up has two antennas as well, or possibly more. And it's decoding, it's unmixing all that mixing that's taken place in the propagation. So we're taking what happens in radio and trying to do it with light again. So that's of particular interest to us. And there we're trying to get from, say, low gigabits per second up to 10 gigabits per second and really impressive wireless data rates.
Could they vary the colour of the light in a room subtly to transmit data?
Colour's quite an interesting one. So the white LEDs that you see mostly are actually blue LEDs. And how they make white light is they take the blue LED and they put a yellow phosphor coating on it. So effectively, some of the blue energy is absorbed by the phosphor and it makes a broad spectrum yellow. And some of the blue leaks through the phosphor, and the blue and the yellow together give you this white colour. You can make white light using red, green and blue LEDs, and you can buy LED light bulbs which have that. And they tend to be sold as a tunable colour bulb that you can tune the colour by changing the relative intensities of the red, green and blue. What people have done with colour in terms of data transmission is they've either sent three separate data streams on the red, green and blue. So that's called wavelength division multiplexing. And at the other end, you have some means of separating the colours out, which is relatively straightforward. Or they've actually encoded in the colour itself. So they've changed the weight of the red, green and blue to make different colours and transmitted data on different colours. And some quite involved theory about how you can transmit different colours, which the receiver interprets as a different colour, but your eye thinks is the same colour. So that's largely how people have dealt with colour transmission, rather than shifting the actual colour itself. It's one of those things you do research and you learn about areas that you think, I really don't know very much about that. And how the eye perceives colour is one of those particular areas. I have a limited knowledge to the degree I need it, but actually there's a whole science of fooling the eye as far as I can tell.
Could the flickering or change of the lighting have any harmful effects?
The hazards that are around LED modulation, the ones I know about, are to do with the low numbers of flashes per second that people who have epilepsy is an issue for them. But I think that above about a few hundred hertz, the view is that there aren't really issues. We're so much faster than that, that's not a problem for us. But I do know there's work going on about blue LED-based lighting and the potential issues that people have where they're exposed to a lot of blue-weighted light.
Will these systems be more integrated in the future?
That's one of the challenges that we still have to address, is quite how that happens and quite what level integration happens. So if you look at, say, the world of wireless communications, so now we're at what people call 4G, people are thinking about 5G, and people have different visions of what 5G wireless will look like. But there's always been this vision that actually every single little wireless standard should all work together seamlessly as you walk around your house, which has not really happened. And so it's a vision for the future that everything will be integrated together. The other thing to say is that the world of LED lighting might make buildings look quite different, I think, because there's no need for a socket if the bulb lasts as long as the building does, or you renew your building every 30 years, you fit an LED and it sits there for 30 years within the structure of the building. Quite what will happen, I don't know. I mean, I think the thing is, you'll see it first in architectural installations, buildings with building operators where there's a commercial driver to fit efficient lighting, to build interesting spaces, that sort of thing. And it'll trickle down to our homes, where at the moment, of course, we're still using bulbs and sockets and replacing fluorescent incandescent with LEDs.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, narrated by me, Brian McInwells. This podcast was produced for the University of Oxford by Steve Pritchard. For more fascinating science, visit www.oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk.